Hey guys, my name is Crystal Kenny, and I'm in love with creating. All things artistic and imagination involved. I'm an American girl who chased her creative dreams all the way to Paris, France, making a living using photography. This podcast takes you inside the stories of all the artsy folks I've met along the way and gives you that extra push to discover your creative gifts. The desire to create is deeply inside each and every one of us, and I give you the tools and inspiration to find a new way of living a more creative life. This is La Vie Creative, the podcast.
On the show, I talk to Queen Doe. She is exposing the real story behind Fashion Week. We talk about what it's like to work as a creative consultant here in Paris, and we share a little bit about her Paris story. So welcome to the show, Queen. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks, Crystal. Happy to be here as well.
Now, I've been following your work for a while. It is beautiful. I love how you play with color and like mood. And like a lot of times you are modeling in your own photos, as you should be. But I mean, being in the fashion scene, you probably get like a lot of inspiration to create as well. Like you've been all over Fashion Week, working for magazines. So I want to start from the beginning, which is your Paris story. So what brought you here?
Working in fashion and being in Paris, my story is as cliche as ever. fashion brought me to Paris, but I had always spoken French like since high school. And so it was just the most logical move for me. It was either Paris or New York, and we ended up in Paris.
So why Paris over New York?
I think just knowing that I spoke French and the few times that I had studied abroad here, it just felt I have a comfort in Europe that I actually don't have in the US, which is kind of hard to explain. But also, it was just the bigger move, and I could always fall back on New York later. So,
yeah, this seems more exciting and difficult. And why not go for it before you're tied down somewhere?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people I've had on the show that have moved to Paris, a lot of them are like lost souls that come here. It's like, well, I'm just figuring it out. So I'm just going to go to Paris. Why not?
Yeah, no, I had a very solid plan. I mean, I knew I wanted to come here and to work in fashion. I had a couple of connections already, but one of my best friends who's French had told me to start as a student, because it's already hard enough as it is being a French person here getting a job. She was like, no way in hell. So like, get your visa situation, like be a student, do a master's, and then go from there. And luckily she said that, because even with that, it was not easy.
Yeah. So you got your master's degree here.
I did. Yeah. At IFM, Institut Français de la Mode. And they're, I mean, apparently they're number one for as fashion schools go in Paris. And over the years since I've done it, I know they've collaborated with other programs too, and are even bigger than they were before.
That's so cool. And so I know you've been to like a lot of the shows and like working with magazines and fashion in general. Like, how would you say fashion has evolved? I mean, is it constantly just going in circles? Is it everything people think it is? You know, there's so much hype around the Paris Fashion Weeks and Paris fashion in general. Like, living it, what would you say about it all?
Yeah, it's a huge freaking cycle, I'd say. And I'd also say it's definitely not as glam as it really seems. I think when I post my stories and that kind of thing, when people react, and even when I look back at it, I'm like, oh, it looks like I had a good time. And actually doing it, it's like, it's a rat race. It's a circus. You're like running from place to place and probably in heels and trying to look good, but like just sweating everything out, and then pull up and like try to look good and try to like be composed and find your seat. And it's just hard because it's a big, like, everyone's trying to make it. There's a lot of wannabes. It's a lot of like fake it till you make it. And then when you're actually hardworking, I feel like even then, I don't know where that really gets you.
Yeah. Yeah. Not in the fashion world. Not very far, maybe.
Yeah.
So what does get you far in the fashion world? Like, after observing for so long, why do these people become famous, or why do they get into the best shows? It's who you know.
Being a fabulous gay man. Can I say that? So, honestly, I swear I've had this conversation with so many friends, and I'm sure if I was a gay man, I would have made it so far already in the fashion industry. No hate, but I don't know anymore, truly, because I, as well as Anna Barr, for example, one of my best friends who you know, and one of your good friends as well. I think we're very by the book, and we really like to do things properly. And that clearly gets us nowhere. I think it is a lot of fake it till you make it and cutting corners where you can. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think really making it, quote unquote, sometimes involves stepping on other people and really not letting anything get in your way. It is dog eat dog. Like, I hate to say it. And, you know, that's not to say that there aren't talented people who have really paved their own way and have really made it. But I think as a whole, like, it's a tough crowd.
Yeah, definitely. And like, going to the shows and going to the parties and things like that, like, is it hard to get in? Like, so many people ask me all the time, like, how can I get tickets to Fashion Week? How do I get in? Like, how do you do it?
So there's not, I mean, it's one of those things where either you're in or you're not. Mm-hmm. And even then, when you're in, seemingly, you can also be out the next day.
Yeah.
I think it's easy in the sense that, I mean, you can totally crash a party. That's totally easy. And if you're good at what you do and, you know, make friends once you're in and that kind of thing, then like everything can also become real at some point. Mm-hmm. So that would be linked to the fake it till you make it thing. And then in terms of how do you go and stuff? Well, a fashion show, basically, you're invited if you're press, a journalist or whatever, if you're a buyer, if you're maybe friends and family of the designer, things like that. So literally, or I mean, obviously, if you're a celebrity or an influencer, yeah. But essentially, like, you're there to work, quote unquote. And it's funny because that's the reality of it. But then the other reality of it is, I feel like a lot of people are there just to be there. And even those who are working, like, I think there's only really a handful of them that are actually writing articles after. The rest are just taking their selfies by the runway and then schlepping to the next show.
They really do put those shows close together in timing. It's hard to make it sometime between with Paris traffic and everything.
It's insane. They're back to back. Sometimes like one is out in the boonies and then another one is like in the most traffic populated place in Paris. And then everyone, of course, is, like I said, in heels and whatnot, or just some weird contraption. So in that sense, yeah, it's really not fun. And you still have to look good while doing it.
You have to look like it's flawless. It's so easy.
Exactly.
Now, you've recently moved into creative consulting, which is something you've been doing for a while now. But like, talk a little bit about what that means.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what it means myself and put a proper definition to it. But I think I settled on that title just because it was the only thing that seemed most appropriate in terms of an umbrella for everything that I do. I do so many different things that it's really hard to pitch everything at once. And then I also feel pigeonholed if I just say one thing as opposed to something else. And to touch on that note, like all the things I do, it involves anything from strategizing for a brand and working on their image. It could be PR, which is what I have most of, which is what mostly my background consists of. I also do some styling. I do lots of like collaborations for brands or for people. I've done like influencer strategy. I've like done events. I mean, the list goes on, but at the end of the day too, while they're all vastly different, they also ultimately help each other in mm-hmm. making me better at what I do. So I think consulting is the best word for it because, it depends on what the brand needs, but yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I moved to France, you talk to people like, what do you do? And it's like, oh, I'm a consultant. And like, everybody's a consultant here. I'm like, what does it mean?
Everyone and their mothers is a consultant here. Yeah, like and honestly, I feel like it's the most annoying title and I actually hate that I've settled with it, but I just, am hoping that I get the chance to explain myself at some point.
We'll talk about some of the crazy stories from being a consultant, from working Fashion Week. What are some of the stories that stand out in your mind from those times?
Oh my gosh, being put on the spot, that's so hard. I feel like there's so many of them. Let's see. I was working for a brand called Stamped one season, and they're like kind of a street semi-luxury brand from LA. Super cool. And we did a collaboration party with the magazine Fucking Young. So that was during Paris Men's Week. And it was just kind of crazy because everything was just pulled together last minute. Like I single-handedly like got the venue and like figured out the alcohol sponsors and everything. And it was also the same night as Virgil Abloh's Louis Vuitton after party.
Oh, wow. But
Chris, the founder of Stamped, is also friends with Virgil. So it was fine. And we ended up being like a full house, like people just lined up out the door. We had some celebrities there, I guess. I think his name's like Chris Wu or something. But he might be canceled now, so I don't know. What else is new?
Yeah.
But he was there, like a bunch of other people were there. And it's just kind of funny how I think the craziest thing for me is like on the outside, you're just like, oh my God, it's so glamorous. There's just like such a big production, like everyone's so polished and everything is just so seamless. And literally, like every fashion show, every fashion week behind the scenes, like everyone is on the verge of a mental breakdown. And it never changes. Like I was recently working in an agency, like one of the top PR ones. I won't mention the name, but from the outside, I used to always go to their events and their shows and like all the things and always kind of wonder like, oh, like how did this come about? Like, why is this person invited and not that person? Etc. But then working on it yourself, you're like, oh, that's because everything was thrown together last minute. And you're like, don't shoot the messenger. And like, everybody wants everything, but also nobody has an answer. So, but it all still falls on you. So,
gosh, that sounds so stressful. And like you said, like you always imagine everything so perfectly planned and polished. And then you find out when you're living it that it's just a big shit show. And you're like, whatever we can make happen, happens.
It really is. I mean, I think the biggest thing I can say about fashion is it's not at all what it seems. It's like watching one of those like beauty vloggers that are like doing their makeup and then they become like a whole different person with like a whole different nose.
Yeah.
That's literally what fashion is.
It's a new nose.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. It sounds like it can just be like obvious, superficial or whatever, but from the outside, like you said, it looks so beautiful. It looks so glamorous. And obviously social media doesn't help with any of that because it's just the highlights reel. So it's nice to hear from someone who actually lives it. Maybe we don't have to have so much FOMO.
I mean, look, like living it myself and sometimes, I don't know, like being invited to a party and not going, I definitely still have FOMO. And it's just hilarious because I know exactly what I'm not going to. Like, I know exactly who's going to be there. I know exactly what the open bar is going to look like. I know what the music's going to sound like, who the DJ is going to be like, what the venue is. I know all of it. And I've done it all before. And yet just one small Instagram photo can like give me the biggest FOMO. And it's definitely something I'm working on because it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. I mean, we've all been there and like you were talking about our friend Anna, like she used to invite us to so many things and something that I'd just be so exhausted I wouldn't go. But like just seeing a picture, you're like, oh no, I should have went. Why did I not go? But Yeah.
There will always be another one. But yeah. You know what? I will say, like, besides all of my bitching, fashion is still fashion as well, right? Like, the people watching, there's nothing better. Whether it be the outfits or the personalities or whatever's happening, there's always some sort of sass going on. And it's kind of a circus. Like, yeah. it's amazing, both in the good and the bad ways.
I like that, a circus. And how would you define fashion yourself? Like, it doesn't have to be the definition, but how do you define it?
I think real fashion is about expressing yourself through clothing and through accessorizing. Whatever makes you feel the best and whatever makes you want to be seen in public and just really like about appearances. But really for you. Whereas, I mean, it's kind of hard because then there's trends and all that kind of thing, and you kind of want to follow them as well. But then obviously too, there's like certain shoes that are cooler. And I don't know how many people out there actually dress like the way they want to, or if they're more dressing the way they think the world wants to see them. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's why for me, I mostly dress in vintage. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because if anyone ever asks me what my style is, like, I don't have one, because I could be literally like a cowgirl one day and I could be like rainbow bright the next.
Yeah.
Be like, I don't know, super 50s or like 70s bell bottoms one day, you know, like it just,
it's like a feeling, like what you feel that day.
Exactly. It's what inspires me and it's what my mood is. And you know, like, I'm not the only one by any means, but I think, you know what? I think that the less money you have, actually, the more creative you have to be.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just buy a full outfit from like Chanel or Balenciaga, you know, you have to like figure it out and piece things together and also see what fits you rather than just take it to the tailor or have it like handmade bespoke for you, you know?
Yeah, I think it's kind of boring because, you know, I have clients who do that, like just head to toe Chanel, but it's just because they have the money and they know that's what's like for their like kind of hierarchy of social class, but it doesn't actually define who they are by any way. It's kind of cool when you can like dive deeper and make your own, like based on who you are.
Totally. And I mean, look, don't get me wrong either. There are definitely more privileged people that are able to also express themselves and look amazing and whatnot. But I think just as a rule of thumb, it's less. And don't get me wrong, I also wouldn't complain if I could buy like a head-to-toe outfit off the runway.
I mean, there's no problem there either.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there's just, for me, I feel like there was a real lack of creativity these days in fashion.
Yeah. I mean, who would you say is still doing creative things that's alive today? Like, do you feel like there's someone still like being?
Yeah, I think that Daniel Rosenberry, who is now designing for Schiaparelli, he kind of brought the house back to its former glory. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, look, I mean, there's a lot of like up and coming young designers who are doing amazing things and whatnot. But as a whole, like, he has kind of made me love fashion again, looking at all his creations, because he brings that element of fantasy, but elegance and glamour. And it's kind of surreal and weird, but also enough to the point where it's wearable and it's still fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think that's what fashion's all about, you know, like it stretches to other realms, and it's not supposed to be quote unquote normal, but it's still wearable and it's still expressive, and it's supposed to make you dream, honestly. Like, that's how I feel about fashion.
Well, that's beautiful. It's supposed to make you dream, because sometimes you look at fashion, you look at the runway, and you're like, what the heck, like you can't wear that in public or whatever. Yeah. But sometimes it literally is just like an art show on the runway. Like, they don't actually expect people to wear that in public,
right? Exactly. And I also appreciate that part, because you know, it is what it is. It's part of the game, and that's just it. It's art. But when it becomes to the point where it's literally just like, are you doing this for the sake of, I don't know, just like the shock value, or is it truly expressive? I think mm-hmm. that's where the line is often blurred.
Yeah, definitely. And it's hard to know who's like pure of heart, who's like really expressing, you know, what they're feeling or trying to make other people feel, or, you know, is this just shock factor? Is this just like the Kardashians or something?
Totally.
Yeah, it's very blurred. And what about people who feel they have no fashion sense, but they want to, you know, learn, you know, how what would you say to those people? How could they learn to dress better or find their style?
I think that everyone inherently has a little bit of fashion in there. I think it's hard because they're just people who are like out there and not afraid to experiment and like don't care. And I think you look good when you think you look good. Mm-hmm. So you could be wearing like a traffic cone. And if you feel like you're the hottest thing, then like you are the hottest thing. And that's just how it works.
Yeah.
It's like people can smell it. Like if you are wearing something, even if it's the most fabulous thing, and if you're not comfortable in your own skin, like it'll show, like the piece will be wearing you. So whether it be like just a white t-shirt and jeans or like the most fabulous bedazzled, like tulle, like whatever ball gown, you just have to own it, like truly.
It's all about confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people who like feel good, it shows on the outside. It doesn't even matter what they're wearing. They can just like rock whatever it is.
Exactly. And so I think in terms of fashion too, like I think some people have this idea that it has to be some super extravagant outfit that's like really bling and whatever. But for me, like I said, you know, a basic white tee or even like a classic button up with jeans, like can be one of the most fabulous outfits of all time.
Yeah.
If it's done right. And if you feel good in it.
Talk a little bit about your food photography. You've gotten into photography. You do like the consulting, art direction. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I've always been super inspired by Toilet Paper Magazine and Maurizio Catalan and like all that kind of thing stuff. And it was during COVID where I think the very first confinement, I mean, first of all, we all had time. Second of all, I think there was just kind of like a renaissance of like vintage foods. There was like a weird obsession with that came back. Which ignited something in me too, because I was always obsessed with it. But like the jelly cakes started being trendy again and like all that stuff. So I started dabbling in the cakes more and then started collecting all these vintage cookbooks and that kind of thing. And it started to just really further inspire my vision, I guess. Like I really just love how the vintage photos are also saturated and colorful, and the food, like even the most disgusting food, somehow seems appetizing because yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, and you make cakes now too.
Yeah, I've always been a baker, but living in Paris, like I don't even have a proper oven, so it's kind of like on and off. But then I also, you know, started seeing people doing things really successfully in other places. And I'm like, oh, well, I know how to do that. And I like doing that. So let's see. And then besides like loving to please people by, you know, making good cakes and whatnot, like I also love that there is an aesthetic that I can play with. So I can shoot my own cakes and do stuff with it. So then that started inspiring the photography. I mean, a lot of it's still just iPhone photography or like on a disposable camera.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a whole world there that I still am really excited to tap into further.
Yeah. And see where you could, what you can do with it and like how you can play with it more.
Yeah.
And how would you define creativity?
It's funny because I feel like it's a newer word in my vocabulary as of the past few years. If you asked me a couple years ago, I would have never considered myself a creative, even working in fashion. Because I always pictured creatives being more like, I don't know, artsy in terms of like, I don't know, being able to draw, being able to like design, like just that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then once I started getting more involved in photography and like creative direction and that kind of thing, I was like, oh, just kidding. Like, that's me too. Yeah. And even making cakes, like I never thought of that as being creative, but I guess it 100% is.
It definitely is.
Yeah, I think creativity is, how would I define that? I think it just means like literally creating and making, like no matter what form or medium it is. And if you find a pleasure in that, then that's your creativity.
Yeah, that being a maker, I like that. It's just like creating something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. Finding solutions. And it's funny because a lot of times when we think of the word creativity, we're like you said, like an artist, a painter, a sculptor, something super artistic, but it can even be so much as like a scientist, like coming up with some kind of new plant or whatever, you know, it's just creating something completely new.
Totally. I always linked it to arts and crafts, you know, like DIY shit.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was the same way before interviewing all these people.
I'm like, I don't know how to knit.
Yeah, I'm not an artist. And so how do you keep your ideas and creativity evolving? Like, how do you find new inspirations?
I am one of those people that buys all of the books and magazines in the world and then just has them sitting there. Like, yeah. I don't look at them or anything. And I'm like always planning to, but then I don't. Instagram has been one of the greatest tools for me, a lot less these days, unfortunately. And I really hope that changes at some point. But, you know, I could have like a dry spell and just landing on that one image that I'm really excited about from like a photographer that I really like or a stylist or something like that. And that's enough to like get my juices flowing again and kind of like, okay, like now you need to do this and you could totally do this too, or like do your own version.
Yeah. I think I read one time that when you're jealous of somebody, that means you need to go and do what they're doing. Like, you don't have to copy it, but yeah, you just try, you know, make your own version.
That's fair. Yeah. I think the other thing too, that's helpful is going down the Pinterest or YouTube black holes every once in a while.
Yeah, definitely.
It's bound to lead you somewhere.
Yeah, definitely going to lose some time off your life, but maybe be inspired at the same time.
Exactly.
And what's the best advice you've ever been given?
I don't know. I think I'm really lucky to have so many creative and motivated friends that they're just like constantly spewing good advice at me, depending on the scenario. But I think one piece of advice that I always use as a mantra for myself, and I have not successfully used it for myself yet, so it's aspirational, is don't think, just do. Because it's like you can waste the time like figuring out how you're going to go about it instead of just do it.
Yeah.
But I've yet to do it.
Yeah, but that's so true, because we get in our own way when you start thinking about all the things you have to do, all the things that you don't know. So once you get those dominoes rolling, they just keep rolling.
Dude, I'd be so rich if I could take my own advice and like for all the times that I was like, oh, you could have just done it by now instead of just wonder what else could have happened or whatever. Well, we're still here.
And yeah. We got to get out of our own way and just jump in.
I know.
I like that. And what are you most excited about for your future work?
I'm really excited to do. I'm excited to do, get it done, and to see it come to fruition, like actually see it. Because I think a lot of what I do is touching more visual things and also material things. And so I'm just really eager to put it out in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I love your pictures with the cakes and like the artistic direction. So I'm excited to see what you will do, what you will make. And I mean, there's so many directions you could go right now. And where can people connect with you online to see more of your work, your website and your Instagram?
Yeah. Well, my Instagram, I think, is the easiest way to go about that, which is just my name, Yas Queen.
I like that.
But yeah, I think Instagram's the best. Like, I haven't quite gotten to TikTok yet, and still not even sure if I will.
Yeah.
And then there is my website, which is just my name, queendo.com. But it's really more of just like kind of a standing resume / portfolio if anyone wanted to like take a quick look if they were super curious, you know. But yeah, I'm like so open. And I think my favorite part about being in this industry, being a creative and everything, and what gets me going every day is just collaborating with people. Mm-hmm. Like being able to work with someone else or help them work with someone else and just like be part of this whole system. So I'm looking forward to launching my stuff and being on more of a platform so that I can even further connect and collaborate with other people.
Yeah, that's a common theme on this show, is it's all about collaborations and that energy from other artists and seeing how you can help each other and work with each other. So I think that's really important to talk about again. And if you're feeling like uninspired or you don't know what to do next, like go out and talk to another friend or an artist, or, you know, like you said, check them out online. There's so much like energy there.
Yeah, exactly. Just, I mean, it literally, I don't know how many people have found, you know, friends through Instagram that have become real life friends or partners or collaborators or whatever. And it's just literally as simple as dropping a note.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people, you'd be surprised they want to work with you, like no matter how famous they are. It's like
people. Yeah, it's insane. It is a small world after all. So
yeah, exactly. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Queen. And we'll definitely drop all that stuff in the show notes so people can check you out and connect.
Cool. Thanks so much for having me. I'll have to send you a cake soon.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to La Vie Creative. You can find more information on missparisphoto.com. And if you enjoyed this show, please feel free to share and spread the word for all my creative guests. We have the power to help them to keep doing what they love. See you next time.